Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, it's 2:08. You are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up, as usual, is health news. And today we talk to Tracy Feinstein, who is the operations manager at SADC. We'll be talking to her about the support group volunteers that are needed in different areas in South Africa, inshallah. And immediately thereafter, we will be speaking to Sister Aisha Kolvadia. She's a biokineticist, and today we're talking about how exercise and joint pain are actually related. We will also be telling them more about her wellness and fitness training studio, inshallah, that is opened here in Indonesia. Well, that's what you can look forward to for the next hour, inshallah. So coming up now is health news, and online we have Tracy Feinstein, who is the operations manager at SADC. Good afternoon, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your support and having us on your show.
It's a pleasure. Tracy, tell us more about the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. What is it all about?
Right, thank you for that. South African Depression and Anxiety Group, commonly known as SADC, is an NGO. We focus on creating awareness and education around all the areas of mental illness and obviously trying to provide the right kind of support structure for mental wellness. Mm-hmm. We operate nationally, and one of our bigger footprints comes via the support groups which we facilitate, and we help to set up support groups. Certainly once a person has been diagnosed with a mental illness and they've received their medication, they've often had to go for therapy, it really is such uplifting and supportive infrastructure for everyone to join in and share valuable time with people who've got same or similar illness, because they learn tips and ideas of how to live with a mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Now, sorry about that, but SADC, like you mentioned earlier, has support groups throughout the country. Mm. How exactly are these support groups of assistance to people suffering from mental illness and others as well? And who would those others be?
Mm. Well, our support groups very much focus on mental illness, and the groups that really, the bigger trend of groups are the groups that are helping people who have been diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And how do you live with that? And why does it work? And really, it is actually how our organization started, because our founder, Zane, was diagnosed. And she didn't know how to manage and how to cope. And, you know, nearly 20-odd years ago, there wasn't the same kind of medication and therapy available. So by getting a group of people together, there was just such a need to share how to live with a mental illness. So, you know, it's about people coming together in a very relaxed, casual environment, sharing lifestyle stories, sharing tips, success stories, ideas of how to live with the illness yourself, and very often how to help family members. And, you know, everybody's got to learn to live with this different thing that's happening in the house. So, for example, you know, common things or a type of thing that might be shared over the table. For somebody who may be suffering with anxiety, to have that additional stress every morning of hurry up, you're going to be late. If we don't leave now, the traffic's going to be crazy, you're going to be late. It can be it's extremely stressful for all of us, isn't it?
Mm.
But for a person who's suffering with anxiety and as a result may experience a panic attack, for them to have that additional pressure is extremely difficult. So a simple suggestion may even come out of the group where somebody might say, you know what, we lived like that in our house until eventually we decided let's put the alarm on for an extra half an hour. And the mom and dad get up earlier and just make for a calmer and easier household, you know, first thing in the morning. So very simple day-to-day tips, lifestyle tips are so so often shared with people who've been diagnosed with this. And it's very supportive because so often in our busy environments and with a lot of stigma still surrounding mental illness, people tend to say, nobody understands me, or my family, or my friends, or my people at work, they don't understand me. And so the infrastructure of a support group is extremely uplifting and positive to reinforce what they're doing is right and that it does get a little bit better.
Mm. Now, how important is it for one suffering from some kind of mental illness or the other to actually seek help, and what are the consequences of not seeking help and not, and especially getting, going for support as well, going into the support groups?
Mm. I think it's crucial. First of all, we advocate, we talk, we encourage people over and over and over again. Early diagnosis is crucial. So as soon as one starts to see the warning signs, phone SADAG, we can navigate, we can help you as to where you could get your diagnosis. Very often, once the diagnosis has been made, there's normally a combination of treatment. And by that I mean it's often medication and then therapy. And the therapy could be different types of therapy, psychotherapy, CBT therapy. It's different for different people. But certainly with a mental illness, and this is important for people to understand, they can't just pop a pill and think it's going to go away. And that is why at SADAG we're able to keep on saying, we really encourage you, do the therapy, and then also join a support group, because it's that camaraderieship, that compassion, that's what's going to really keep you going and moving forward, and also coping with the difficult times. Mm-hmm. So it's not about just taking the medicine and it goes away. Far from it.
Mm-hmm. And I think also very important, joining a support group certainly makes you feel that you are not alone, that there are other people around you that, are in similar circumstances. And I think as a result, you help each other so much, and you don't even realize how much of help you really get from each other.
Exactly, yeah. And this is what happens, and we all know how good we feel when we help someone. So when one person is having a bad day and someone in the support group says, do this, it worked for me, or be kind to yourself, or they actually look at them across the table and say, I do understand, it really does. It means a lot. So I think it's invaluable, the support that these support group members get from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep moving forward.
Yes, of course. And of course, it's the support group is not only for the person suffering from the mental illness, but it's definitely for people around you as well. And you can obviously learn to cope much easier.
Yeah. Ideally, and this is why we need extra support groups, ideally it's better for like the family members, the loved ones, to have their own support group. Mm-hmm. And for the person suffering with the illness to go to their own support group.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time, some of the support groups may have like an open day where they'll say, bring your friends, your family member. And they may have a speaker who will talk about a really topical issue relevant to the group.
Okay.
But the general norm, it's about the person with the illness having their private space. And same goes for the family member. They also need their space to vent and learn ideas as to how can they cope with the person who's living with a mental illness. So this is where we have a great need. We there's always the need to expand the groups, and this is why we've gone out into the communities and said, please come forward. You could either do a support group for family members of loved ones, or you might want to do the support group for those that are suffering with the mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, the training and the support infrastructure that we can provide you is there.
Okay, so who are you actually looking at? Who can be a volunteer?
You know, there's so many people who are able to volunteer. People reach a stage in their life where they just want to give back. There are people who have suffered with depression or anxiety or a particular mental illness for a very long time, and they are stable, and therefore they understand how do you live with this. They may have had a partner or a family member living with this. So there's so many different categories. And I think that the success of SADAG is that over the years we've been able to embrace all those individuals who want to volunteer and find a little niche. So by that we find a venue, we help them find a venue, we help them with the promoting, the advertising of their work, their group. We are able to get speakers for them, we teach them how to facilitate a group. So it really can be anyone. And the whole idea of a support group is not to have 20, 30 people in a room, but it is to be small and intimate, sort of 8 to 12, 15 people, so that everybody has a chance to share. Mm-hmm. So actually, it is so many people. And I think that's the encouragement, is that, you know, volunteering is an uplifting exercise in so many different ways. And we really do. We have a community which has come forward overwhelmingly to say they wish to open support groups throughout the country. Mm-hmm. So that's phenomenal. It goes that we, you know, people do care about one another and they want to help. And we'll do the training and we'll provide the support so that we can launch these groups and help a lot more people out there in the communities who are battling with mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anyone is interested in becoming a volunteer, what is the procedure?
Right. So if they would like to volunteer, especially in a support group, they could send an email through to us at supportgroups@anxiety.org.za. They also welcome to phone us on 0800 21
22 23. Okay.
And they can even use, they're not more than welcome. I can give you my email as well. It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, at sadag.org. There's so many platforms for them to get hold of us. And we will assist each one uniquely, find out what are their needs and how best can we support and assist them. And on our website, there's a wealth of information, which is www.sadag.org.
Okay, fine. So basically what they just need to do is either call you or email you on these email addresses, tracy@sadag.org or supportgroup@anxiety.org.za. And
perfect.
That number again is 0800212223. It's 21 22 23.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Tracy, for talking to us, and I'm sure our listeners out there, whoever is interested, would certainly contact you.
Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Right, that was Tracy Feinstein, who is the operations manager at SADAG, and they are actually looking for volunteers for their support group. So remember, if you are interested, they do support you all the way too. You know, if you want to become a volunteer, they actually go out of their way to train volunteers and give them all the support and the help that they need to start up these support groups. And I think it's something wonderful for every community to have. So inshallah, if you're interested, I'll just repeat that email addresses again. The one is tracy@sadag.org, T-R-A-C-E-Y, and the other one is supportgroup@anxiety.org.za, or you can call them on 0800 21 22 23, and of course you can just follow them on their website. You'll get all the information there that you need. It's sadag.org, www.sadag.org. Well, we take a break. When we return, inshallah, we're speaking to Sister Aisha Kulwadia, who is a biokineticist, and she's going to be telling us, hopefully, alhamdulillah, I think it's what so many of us need out here, you know, how joint pain, how exercise and all these joint pains that we have, arthritis and all that, is actually related, inshallah. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and I have a lovely guest with me in the studio this afternoon, Sister Aisha Kulwadia. She is a biokineticist, and today we talk about how exercise and joint pain are really related and what we actually need to do. you know, to lessen that pain, I think, a little. We'll also be talking a little about her wellness and fitness training studio that's here in Lanesha, inshallah, and she'll tell us more about that. I think sometimes it's very important for us to actually have something like this where we can be encouraged to do our exercises and also, explain. They can also make us sometimes do these exercises that we're supposed to be doing. Anyway, Aisha, jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon. It's wonderful to have you with us in the studio.
Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah for having me. It's always a pleasure being at Radio Islam.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. But in any case, we talk about a biokinesis. We have had you with us again, but just for the benefit of listeners that may not exactly know what a biokinesis is and what you actually do for us. So please explain that to us. What is a biokinesis?
So a biokinesis, basically we're medical exercise specialists, and we focus on improving a person's physical health and wellness. We do it through like medicine and science. We like trained under the medical council, so it's very effective. We look at patients who are diabetic, patients who basically need to like just live a more healthier, functional lifestyle.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that if you have some kind of a medical condition and you need to do exercises, it's a good idea to actually come to you and talk to you, and then you can assess and give the patient the exact kind of exercises that they should do, and obviously also tell them at the same time what kind of exercises to avoid.
Yeah, most definitely that is very important, because often I would say that a very big mistake that patients make is that they often follow the trends that are currently currently going around. So, for example, let's say boot camp. Okay, whereas it's very beneficial, yes, it is, but it's not very beneficial to everyone. And that's where biokinesis would typically come in. We would perform a medical assessment on you, evaluate all your muscles and your joints, see what needs to be improved, what needs to be strengthened, what needs to be stretched. So what may work for your neighbor may not exactly be the perfect sort of regime that you would need to follow.
Okay, and also I guess, you know, there's many patients that undergo some kind of surgery or the other for that matter. And of course also there, you cannot just do any kind of exercise once again. And it's important for you to get medical advice where that is concerned too, or expert advice.
Yes, most definitely. It's very, very important. The old sort of ideology that after surgery, the best thing to do is to rest and sleep and recover for 6 to 8 weeks, that is definitely gone out of the window. So once you're out of a hospital, you've done your in-hospital rehab, seeing a biokinesis would assist you in helping to get back to normal functionality. And a lot of the time, the patients that we work with, we're actually able to get them to better functionality than previous to their operation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like patients who have joint replacements, it's very important to strengthen the muscles around the joint, because remember, it's now a prosthetic joint which needs to be taught how to work better, the muscles need to work a lot better around that joint to support that joint as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now today we're just going to be talking about arthritis, I think. Okay, now I know there's different kinds of arthritis, and sometimes we're a bit confused with regards to this. Now, can you explain to us what arthritis is, and perhaps also talk about the major types of arthritis?
Okay, so I think also it's important to say that the reason why we've sort of like just chosen arthritis for today is because in my practice I definitely found that most people who come and see me generally suffer from arthritis in some form or the other. There's two main, so firstly, the first thing you would want to know is what is arthritis. Arthritis is basically a disease or a disorder which causes pain and inflammation. Okay, we have two like major types of arthritis that we generally work with, and the one is rheumatoid arthritis and the second one is osteoarthritis. So rheumatoid arthritis is more of a chronic progressive autoimmune sort of an arthritis where it causes pain and deformity around the joint, mostly leading to like actual deformity at possibly the fingers, the feet, the wrists, the ankles. Usually with rheumatoid arthritis, it's usually more your smaller joints than your bigger ones, and very painful, and you can actually see physical swelling and things like that.
That's when you see the funny fingers
losing, like the nodules.
And actually losing shape also sometimes,
yes.
You know. That looks terrible,
yeah.
Though.
And often when I do see that, I often think to myself, that must be very, very painful. But anyway, as we go on with the program, we'll talk about methods in which we can help to reduce the pain without just using medication.
Okay, so that is rheumatoid arthritis.
That's rheumatoid arthritis. Then osteoarthritis, which is more common between the different forms of arthritis, that's basically a degenerative joint disease. So what happens is in every one of our joints we have cartilage in between the joints, and what happens is we get degeneration of that joint or of that cartilage.
That means it wears out.
Mm-hmm. In very severe cases, we then have like bone on bone contact, which you can imagine is quite painful. With osteoarthritis, there's always pain, stiffness, sometimes swelling at the joint.
Mm-hmm. And I think most, ultimately joint replacement is then encouraged, isn't it?
Okay. It depends on the degree of degeneration that we find at the joint, but in very severe cases, joint replacement is often the best mode of treatment that we can use. In cases where there is still cartilage available, there's other things that we would do before we go to a joint replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things would be, for example, weight loss, exercise, maybe supplementing the joint, low-level laser therapy.
Okay, so basically, one should never just rush into going into surgery. Surgery in the what we're talking about here is joint replacement.
I would definitely say that even if you are a candidate to do joint replacement surgery, it's always better to see the biokineticist before anyway, so that we can help strengthen the joint that's going to be replaced, the muscles around that joint before you do the operation, and also the opposite limb, because remember that limb is then going to need to work double time hard. In order to function. We have found in practice, as well as research has showed us, that when we do pre-rehab, the patient recovers a lot faster, the patient is mobile a lot quicker, there's a lot less pain post-surgery, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just a reminder to our listeners that our lines are open. If perhaps you have a question, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS us on the number or WhatsApp us on the number 082-8492-786, inshallah. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we continue with our program. We're talking about arthritis and basically just joint pains and how biokineticists can actually help us, help us. So let's see how she can help us, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and my guest today is Sister Aisha Kolbadia, a biokineticist, and she's here from Indonesia. We're talking about joint pain and how exercise is related to that anyway. Besides for pain medication, which is unfortunately our number one, if we have pain, the first thing we all run to is medication. So pain medication, what other treatments can arthritis patients actually benefit from?
Okay, so one of the first things that I'm going to say that benefits arthritis is exercise. Okay, the reason why is because it increases strength, flexibility, it reduces joint pain, and obviously combats fatigue. But of course, you're probably sitting there thinking to yourself, when I'm stiff and painful, going down the block for a walk or going to swim in the pool is possibly the very last thing that you feel like doing.
But that is true. You know, if you are in so much of pain, the last thing you're thinking of right then is, how am I even going to move my leg, or how am I going to move this joint?
Yeah.
For that matter.
That's why doing exercise basically promotes blood circulation. It increases the production of serotonin. All of that helps to reduce your pain, reduces the inflammation at the joint. And also generally when we exercise, our body reduces endorphins, or releases endorphins at least. And when endorphins are released, we feel better. And we feel good.
I think it also, like I said, sometimes most of the pain is in your mind.
Yeah, that's
and
for sure.
Like you said, all these endorphins and whatever else it does make you happy, feel hormones, actually pushes out that pain from, you know, you don't think about it. It may be there, but you can actually push it out of your mind for a while.
Yes, most definitely. We've actually, we've been working with a group of doctors where they've been doing research to show that before a client comes or a patient comes, whether it's to do like difficult things like weight loss or begin an exercise program, we test their levels of serotonin and their levels, baseline levels of endorphins as well. Because what this does is it gives us an indication on whether we're starting at a low level, and then the patient is obviously, for those reasons, probably not going to stick to either the weight loss program or the exercise program. There's medication that can be given to help raise these levels. The type of exercise also helps to make the levels higher or lower depending on what you do. So that's why it's often very, very important, and I can't stress this enough, to make sure that you see a medically qualified person before beginning any weight loss or exercise program.
Mm-hmm. And not just not for anything, you know, all those quick fixes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
There's usually never an easy quick fix.
Actually, you know, we really are so silly to think that, you know, it takes you years to put on all that weight, but we expect it to really within a week or two, we expect results. We want to see the fat gone.
Like I always like to tell my patients, if it was as easy as popping a pill or drinking some magic potion of some sort, there would be no fat people in this world if it was that easy.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah,
all those things just doesn't work.
Yes.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the benefits of exercise.
Okay, so generally some of like the more obvious benefits would be general health improvement. So we found with patients who undergo like a regular exercise routine, they have a decrease in their insulin levels, their blood pressure improves, cholesterol levels go down, so you generally feel better and you are generally healthier as a person. Exercise should be low cost, okay? But then I know you're probably going to say, but like gym fees are expensive and personal training is expensive, but you don't need to go to a gym and you don't need to work with a personal trainer. You can do things at home, you can do things with your family, and all of that would help you to get healthier and better. And there aren't really many side effects to exercise, unless you do like severe forms of exercising where possibly stuff could fall on you, but that you should take advisement before doing that.
Mm-hmm. We've spoken about that, how important it is for you to, you know, and especially like we said earlier, if you have undergone some kind of you know, an operation or the other, surgery or the other, or if you are not well, you've got some kind of condition, you need to always consult with somebody that knows,
some kind
of professional that would be able to advise you correctly.
Yeah.
So hopefully then, obviously, things wouldn't be so bad.
Yes, no, mm-hmm. For sure. Like if I can just give you a very simple example. For a patient who needs to lose weight, they would do more sort of a low intensity exercise program for a prolonged period of time. So we want them like a general brisk walking on the treadmill for 45 to 60 minutes. That would be a lot more beneficial to them. But let's say a patient who has knee arthritis or osteoarthritis, we wouldn't put them on the treadmill for an hour because that would cause more damage to their knee they would need to do something a lot more different, where we specifically target a particular muscle to strengthen it to then support the knee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and weight loss is also one of the benefits, but tell us more about weight loss.
Okay, so when it comes to like a joint disease or joint disorder, arthritis, weight loss obviously would have less pressure on the joint because there'd be less weight on that particular joint. Generally, like increased overall health, so you'd be taking less medication and things like that. Patients also feel a lot more energetic. This is also where I'd like to bring in that for arthritis patients, like very restrictive diets that cut out all of your fats or all of your carbs are definitely not recommended because we do need them. We have found that your good fats like your omegas are very, very important for joint regeneration. So definitely add those into your diet. The best advice we can give is have a wholesome, balanced eating plan. Try and eliminate very acidic foods from your diet and make sure that you have 3 meals a day, with each meal having a protein, a veggie, and a carbohydrate content.
Okay, so just before we continue, there's a question that's come in. It says, Assalamu alaikum. I've got rheumatoid arthritis. I know exercises are so important, but I've got compression of the nerves, so I'm unable to exercise. I can't walk long distances either. What advice can you give me to be relieved from this pain? Jazakallah khair for the lovely program.
Okay, that's actually a very good question. And to that caller, I would definitely say that one of the better forms of exercise for him or for her would be hydrotherapy. Because in the water, generally you're buoyant. There's not a lot of gravitational forces on the joint. We're able to get a lot more going. Also, when it comes to hydrotherapy, in this patient's case, we would probably recommend that you go for more warmer water as opposed to cold water. Yeah.
Okay, so I hope that answers the question. And, of course, we will be giving out telephone numbers, so in case you need to contact the biokineticist, you can speak to them later too. Okay, what about supplementation?
Okay, so supplementation is also very important for arthritis because we have to understand that arthritis, in essence, is a breakdown of your bone tissue, especially when it comes to osteoarthritis. Mm. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to advise patients to go and get tested for their vitamin D levels. Because if your vitamin D levels are low or insufficient, the calcium that you may be supplementing with is not going to be uptake, the calcium uptake will not happen. So first do a vitamin D test. If that is low, we probably put you on a vitamin D supplement and then give you a calcium supplement as well. And then, like I said earlier, your omegas are very, very important. A nice supplement that we have found that really helps with joint health is a compound called glucosamine, which helps to promote the thickness of the joint, basically, and increase the fluidity around that cartilage.
Okay, so is this available anywhere? You just go to a chemist?
Yes.
And you...
With glucosamine, it's available on its own. It's available in many of the supplements such as Arthroguard and OsteoEase. But like I said, always very important to first test vitamin D, because if you're vitamin D deficient and you take both glucosamine and calcium, it's not going to help because we need the vitamin D to uptake the glucosamine and the calcium.
Okay. And it's also, like you said, important to rather, discuss this with somebody that knows,
yes,
a professional.
Yes. That's why it's important, because when you do come in, we look at you as a whole patient. We look at whether you have arthritis together with diabetes or hypertension. Like Tracy spoke about earlier, depression also plays a very important role.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, with regards to exercises and taking into account the or consideration the pain that one goes with it, rather. So arthritis, obviously, there's no arthritis without pain. I think everybody suffers, obviously, in different degrees
of pain.
So tell us about the exercises that a person should do that has arthritis.
Okay.
So taking, obviously, into consideration the amount of pain.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to try and break it down into like the different, not really categories, but different types of pain that you may be experiencing if you have like degenerative joint disease or anything like that. So if you have mild to moderate pain in a specific joint area before you start a workout, in those cases, we've definitely found that doing a low intensity exercise program is going to promote blood circulation, going to increase nutrition to the joints, increase lubrication and circulation to the joints. So that exercise will definitely help if you're in that sort of a condition or circumstance. Okay, for patients like that, we would go for low impact exercises, for example, like the Orbitrex, maybe a little bit of hydrotherapy, some walking, and then generally like strength and flexibility sort of stuff. Then if you have moderate to severe pain in a specific joint before you start working out, just to make sure that you continue with your exercise regime and you don't sort of become a couch potato for that space of time, we generally then take the patient to another joint. So say, for example, maybe your knees are very sore that day, we would not do any work around the legs, but maybe focus more on your core stability and core strength, bring in some stretches and upper body workout. Okay? If you have moderate or severe pain during exercise, then definitely immediately stop doing whatever you are doing. Chat to your healthcare professional and see probably the mode of exercise that you are doing is wrong. So we need to reevaluate and see what else you can do to still get the same amount of benefits.
I think that's important because, you know, what we tend to do is, I think this is where you start injuring yourself if you are not aware of what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed
and
to do
when
it,
you're supposed to
what
do
kind
it.
Of exercise, I think so. Yeah. Now, what about people that consistently have joint pain?
Okay.
And, you know, there's so many. Sometimes it's joint pain, obviously, and we're talking about the joint pains. And this is after exercise too. What happens?
Okay, so normally when patients come in, they say that we are chronically in pain, we have pain all of the time. The first thing that we would do is we would sit down and try to explain to the patient that there's a very big difference between joint pain and muscle pain. Okay?
Is that where many of us are not, you know, we don't know the difference.
No, you don't know the difference.
I think what happens is, you know, you're in so much of pain that you eventually don't know where the pain comes from.
Exactly. And that's where we obviously are trained to help you to identify whether that pain is specifically coming from the joint or coming from the muscle. If the pain is coming, like, specifically from the joint, then definitely we would lay off exercise because we don't want to cause any more, like, joint damage or pain in that area. But 80% of the time, the pain is not coming from the joint, but coming from the related muscle. Okay. And a lot of the time, that could be because the muscle is just not getting enough blood supply because you're not active enough. There may be like a tense muscle band in that particular muscle that we could sort out that would really help. A lot of the time, very common patients will come and they'll be, okay, so we've been exercising for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But ever since we started exercising, our knees or our ankles are very, very sore. And one of the most common problem that happens is they're using the wrong tacky. So or the wrong training shoe. Mm-hmm. So that's why then we would do like a foot evaluation and see whether you pronate, supinate, flat-footed, have a high arch, and give you advice on how to use the proper shoe so that you get the proper support when you're training.
So your shoes do play a really important role.
They do.
In exercise.
They do. Especially if you're doing like exercise for 30 minutes at least 5 days a week, then I would say it's a very good idea to invest in a good shoe that's properly suited to your specific foot type.
Okay. Yes. Now, what I want to talk to you about before we quickly talk about your... Okay, let me just take this question again. It says, Marv, hydrotherapy meaning aqua aerobics? I think she just wants to know whether hydrotherapy actually means aqua aerobics. Mm. And also, is there no other way of getting relief besides painkillers?
Okay.
Or does the doctor do any other kind of therapy?
Okay. So for the SMS caller that called in now, there's a difference between hydrotherapy and aqua aerobics. So generally, aqua aerobics would be a class where you do aerobics but in water. Whereas hydrotherapy, we work one-on-one with the patient and we work specifically on what exactly you need to be done. Okay, I hope that
makes a difference.
And then there are other therapies that we could definitely help the caller with, one of which is a type of a laser therapy, which is called low-level laser therapy. It uses a laser or a light beam to help diminish pain and inflammation in that area. So I will be giving my details after the show, so she can give
yes,
me a call.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, with regards to excuses, and I think we all love them, and
yeah.
I think I'm going to quickly tell you what they are. We never have the time. We're always in pain. It's difficult to stick to a program. Forever tired. We can never do those exercises because we are forever tired. Too shy to perhaps, do exercises at the gym or perhaps, in groups for that matter. And, of course, the other one would be funds. How do you cure, or what's the cure for this?
Okay, so looking at the list of excuses that patients normally give for not exercising, that was what made me realize that there's such a big need for a wellness center or a ladies fitness studio or whatever you want to call it in Lanesha. Okay. Firstly, time is not a problem, okay? Because I don't think that there's anybody that can't tell me that they have 20 minutes in a day where they can do some sort of exercise.
I think it's just being lazy.
Yes, I think we all have at least 20 minutes a day. A colleague of mine did some research where they found that exercising for 11 minutes a day showed arthritis patients had less achy joints, experienced less stiffness, and were less likely to go back to normal functioning than their sedentary counterparts. And that's just 11 minutes a day.
Basically, just 11 minutes a day.
Yeah, with my patients who are extremely busy and they always tell me, okay, I don't have time to exercise, I give them something called task-sizing. So that means that you can exercise, for example, while you're cooking. So there's no excuse for that, right?
Okay.
Then pain, we did discuss it earlier on how exercise really does help with pain and how we can work around that.
Mm-hmm.
Tiredness, patients often think, I'm so tired when I come back from work, I don't have time to go and exercise now. That's when you need to see whether you have more energy in the morning, more energy in the afternoon, and work it out like that. Also, exercise promotes energy. Okay.
So you will feel better.
You will definitely.
The tiredness goes possibly
it
well.
It does. So yeah. You feel a lot more energized and all of that. A very important one, especially for our ladies, is that they often feel too shy to go to public exercising areas like gyms and things like that. Then definitely contact your health professional where we can do home visits, we can do one-on-one sessions and things like that. Also, sometimes you see the biokineticist once and then for the next 2 weeks they give you stuff that you can do at home. And now we're actually, moving with times and technology and all of those sort of stuff. We have apps where we can make sure that our patients are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then another important one is just financial costs. But like I said, you can't only exercise at the gym. You can take your family on a Sunday and go for a walk, which really it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we don't have much time, but JazakAllah for the inspiring words. I think we'll all, inshallah, try to do something if we can't do it, really. Anyway, with regards to your wellness and fitness studio that you have started on, can you just tell us a little about it? Where is it situated and who is it specifically for? you know, all those.
Okay, so the wellness studio is in La Neige in Extension 6. Okay, the classes are predominantly catered for females only. But if you are male and you have arthritis or some other underlying medical condition, then definitely give me a call and we'll work on a one-on-one basis with you. With the wellness studio, you have the option of doing classes, you have the option of one-on-one training. We have different modes of exercises that you can do, which is also very helpful.
Okay. Is there anything that you will be focusing on in particular?
Okay, so one of our upcoming projects that we're going to be having is a diabetic wellness. So where we're going to be having days where you can come in and have your screening done for free. We're then going to have, like, for example, dietitianist, diabetic specialist to come and chat to us about a good one that we're going to be having just before Ramadan is correct eating and exercising in Ramadan. I want to try and promote one for the Hajis before they leave to make sure that you're strong enough when you go there, you're physically able when you go there.
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be quite a bit of things that you will be working on, especially people with that are not well. And what is good is that they will actually be consulting a professional that will be able to give them professional advice on what to do and what not to do.
So our main reason for the center was to get our nanas and nannies and dadas and daddies off the couch and get them moving.
Inshallah. And I think also to try and get them to take less medication. Because that's what live on, taking tablets. Okay, I've got an indication that we should end now. Jazakallah khair, Aisha, for coming in. And I really enjoyed chatting to you today, and I'm sure our listeners out there would definitely be interested. Just your numbers quickly.
Okay, so the landline number is 011-852-8903. The cell phone is 082-972-8307. You can either SMS or WhatsApp on that line.
Okay, and these contact details are available at the radio station, so if anybody is interested, please call the radio station. Samira is waiting to start off the news, so yes, that's it then from us. Jazakallah khair once again for joining us.
Jazakallah for having me, and assalamu alaikum.
And jazakallah khair to our listeners for listening and for the questions that they sent in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.